Okay, we're up to Simon Shin, Ayin Zayin, new Simon. We gave a Hakdama yesterday. It's on page Resh Mem Vav. It comes out to page 490. Okay. Shtelios, I can give you a little Hakdama. So maybe we should read the Hakdama on the side. It's a nice little Hakdama in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah on the side. Let's just run through the Hakdama to make this Simon a little easier. If everyone can look on the right side where it says number 1, Simon Shin Ayin Zayin Din Shtelios So Kenegetzah Psuchos Echaseh. All you need to keep in mind is the picture. Okay, that's critical. Look at the picture on the top. On the top left, there is a picture. Let's just describe the picture in detail. We have a chotzer. And the chotzer, notice, has a guma, has a pit. That pit is what we would call a cesspool. That's where all the waste collects. Before the days of modern plumbing, all the waste of their four bottom, as you see, their four little houses, and eventually the goal was all of their waste would end up in that cesspool. The rest of the courtyard is a nice open area. It's beautiful. It's good for recreation, relaxing. Take a beach chair, lie down. Sure, in ancient times they weren't so sensitive to the smell of the cesspool. Now, then we have the four batim. Notice the four batim are not on ground level. This is a very sophisticated courtyard. Okay, this is a designer courtyard. And to get from the home, your home, to the courtyard, you have to first go on a balcony. Notice there are two, on the left side there are two homes, and the two homes open to a balcony. And the balcony has a nice little railing. And you walk down to the end of the balcony, there's a little staircase that takes you down to the courtyard. And the same thing is true for the two homes on the right. There are two homes, a balcony, and from the balcony there's a staircase that takes you down to the courtyard. Ideally, what should these four people do if they want to carry freely on Shabbos from their home to the courtyard? They should make one large joint, a ruvei chatzeros. That's the best thing to do. Four people, four homes, four loaves of bread, or one host, sponsor, that would be the ideal. But when there are more than one people living in a courtyard, we all know that everyone gets along with each other. So here we have a situation where they did not necessarily join together. And they have the option of not joining together because they live in two separate complexes. Being that these balconies are 10 tefachim off the ground, if they want, the two homes on the left can join together in their own Eruv Chatzeros, and the two people on the right can join together in their own Eruv Chatzeros, and that would allow the two on the left to carry from their homes to their balcony, and the two on the right to carry from their homes to the balcony. But being that they have not joined together, they would not be allowed to go downstairs and carry in the courtyard, which is shared by all four together. But they can join together, the two on the left can join together to carry from their home to the balcony, and the two on the right can join together in an Eruv Chatzeros to carry to the balcony on the right side. Okay, is that clear?
There's some kind of, I don't know the right word. Didn't we make allowance for the fact that there's only one exit to the Rishus HaRabim?
There's only one exit to the Rishus HaRabim.
Right,
so okay.
Didn't we say that even if you don't make an Eruv under certain circumstances, you could, because you have to go out that way, you could carry into the Chatzer?
You can carry into the chutzner things that, if let's say there was something resting on the mirpeset, on the balcony before Shabbos began, and there was no erev whatsoever, no one made an erev, but there was an object resting on the mirpeset, you're allowed to take from the mirpeset into the courtyard. Because the courtyard has four walls, so it's a rishus hayachid, the mirpeset has four walls, there's a railing, you're allowed to go from one type of courtyard to another type of courtyard without and Eruv Chatzeros. You're only not allowed to go from a bias, a residential area, to an area that's shared with Eruv Chatzeros. Here we want to go from the bias to the courtyard. That we can't do. If they have not joined together in one joint Eruv, then you cannot go from the bias to the Chatzer. But if the two bottom join together in their own Eruv Chatzeros, then they can go from the bias to the balcony. That's the situation we have here in this picture. Now, in this picture, notice there is a cesspool, this guma. In this picture, it's very important to note that the cesspool is closer to the left. It's closer to one of the two the two balconies. And that'll have an afkamino in the halacha that we're going to learn now. Let's read that gemara. Pasak ha-shulchan aruch le'el. This goes back to something we've learned. We spent a lot of time on this shin and zayin. We first began learning together. We learned this. Shemisha yesh l'chatzah shegdil dalal dalal amos. First, it's a kogi that's exactly 4 amos by 4 amos. Motul lishmach es meimav l'chatzah zo. He's the only resident. Okay, we're not dealing with an issue of a ruvi chatzeros. Let's say you're a loner. You live in a home, and your home opens to a courtyard, and the courtyard is exactly 4 amos by 4 amos, and the courtyard opens into the street. So there's no issue. You're allowed to carry from your home to the courtyard. There's no issue whatsoever. You want to go to your courtyard, you want to pour your wastewater onto the floor of the courtyard. The problem is, it's automatically going to spill into the Rishus HaRabim. So you are indirectly causing something to go from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim, which seemingly should be forbidden. So the answer is, it's mutter, provided that your courtyard is at least 4 amos by 4 amos. If it's 16 square amos, then the assumption is the water will not necessarily spill into the Rishus HaRabim. The courtyard is large enough for it to be absorbed in that isolated area. So a mutter lo lishmach as meimav l'chotzer zo av im hamayim yotzim lachem mikam yachotzer lo rishos rabim. Even if, let's say, it happens to be by accident, the water does flow into the street, it's okay. It was done indirectly. Kelen she'ein machshav to the kach, that was not your intent. Av lim hachotzer katana midal adal. Let's say the kuyat is less than 4 amos or 4 amos, so then it's inevitable. There's no way the water will be absorbed, will settle in such a small area. It's a guarantee the water will spill into the Rishus HaRabim. Also, Lishmech Ba, as Mimav, you're not allowed to pour the water into the courtyard because it's going to flow into the Rishus HaRabim. The Tamachiluk, what's the difference? Kevon, Sheshir Chazal have calculated, Shebechotzer Shevlilu Dalamas Adalamas, Nivlas Sosayi Mayim, two saw, it's a measure of water. With the Gemara, we assume that the average amount of wastewater an individual produces over a single day is not more than 2 sa'im. Okay, what is that? I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but whatever that amount of water, it will settle in an area of 4 amos by 4 amos. And it's not going to dirty the courtyard. We're not concerned we'll go and pour the water out into the Rishus HaRabim. Alam ein b'chotzer dalal dalal amos yesh lochos sheshishmach mayim l'Rishus HaYachal l'Rishus HaRabim. Kevon she'en roitz l'tanif es chaser. So saying a little more than what I'm saying. I said that the water is going to spill. Besides spilling, there is a greater concern. That if you pour the water very slowly, even in a courtyard that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, it's not going to spill into the street. In a very small area, 16 square amos. You can look at the tiles on the floor, make believe it, whatever, 16, it's a very small area, and you pour of water. If you pour it very slowly over a period of time, it's not going to spill out into the Rishus HaRabim. You let it settle. But if you let it settle too slowly, it's going to cause the courtyard to become muddy, or to be turned into a thick mud. And you don't want your courtyard to be muddy, because the mud will come into the house, and so on and so forth. So what will you do? You'll just say, forget it, I don't care. I'll take the bucket, you'll walk out into the street and pour this water into the street itself, which is certainly an open violation of Hayitzah. That's the concern. When we call Malkam, so what is the solution? The Hakdama continues. Im also b'chatzer guma. If you have a very small courtyard that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, and under normal circumstances, you'll be forbidden to pour the water into the courtyard. If you dig a pit, a cesspool, to let the water collect, your wastewater to collect, shemachzekes sosai mai motu lishbach sham kemu shamayim lishbachem leguma, the water will go into the guma ve'ein am netanfim esachot it's not going to the courtyard lechei im lachos sham yitzrach lereshus ram v'gam im lebesoif yotzu amayim mikoicha lereshus ram harayis a motu kemu shem achshav to lekach. Now besimin zemavur mahadin v'yafinah, what's that's the basic hakdama. Now but how does it apply to our simon? We're just taking the old yisoidos, the halacha that was learned long ago, and now we're trying to expand upon it. Everything we learned all the way back in Simon Shin and Zion discuss where you are an individual, sole proprietorship. You're the only one that's living in the courtyard. But if you have a partnership, you're not the only person. There are other people living there in the courtyard. and you want to pour water, how will we deal with this situation? There are two balconies. And the primary case that we're going to discuss is where only one of the two balconies joined together in their own private eruv. We'll learn all the details. Here we go. Shtelios in this Sif Aleph. Two attics. Attics here mean two balconies. Habsuchos, which open lechatzar. Zo k'neged zo. One opposite the other, like you see in the picture. V'yachas osa guma b'chatzar. And one of them made a guma in the courtyard. K'le lishpach b'chatzar. In order to pour water into the chatzar, she'ein ba arba amos, that does not have, the courtyard is less than 4 amos by 4 amos. Now, if it's less than 4 amos, we automatically know that it is categorically forbidden to pour water in the courtyard under even the best situation, best circumstances, when there is an eruv, because the water will end up going into the rishos haram. The only solution is to make a guma. Did not make the eruv, did not make a guma. One of the two parties made a guma, one did not make a guma. So that's the picture over here. You notice that the guma, the hole, is closer to the left than to the right, because the one who made this guma were the people who lived in the balcony on the left. Now, what is the law? So here we go. Im ervu yachad, the ideal situation would be for all four residents to join together in a single eruv. Then no problem. Shteyan mutaros lishpach memem. They can all pour the water out into the courtyard. That's a given. But what happens? The lo ervu yachad. They did not join together. V'achas erva la'atzma. The one on the left made their erev. V'ashmi lo erva klal. Did nothing. Zo shaloi erva asura. The one on the right that did not make an eruv chatzeres among themselves is forbidden. V'she'erva muteres. Now, what is the obvious question you think in your mind? How in the world is it mutter for the people on the left to pour the water into the guma, but that means they're going to have to go down the steps into the courtyard, and they did not join together with the courtyard, with the aliyah, with the balcony on the right? And if they did not join with the balcony on the right, you're not allowed to go from their balcony to the center, because there is no joint eruv chatzeros among all of them. The answer is, they're not going to walk down the balcony into the courtyard. They're going to pour the water on the balcony itself, and it's going to flow, it's going to drip, it's going to overflow and spill into the courtyard. So where are they pouring the water? They're pouring the water in the balcony on the left. It's going to spill and go over the banks, over the edge, spill into the courtyard, and in the courtyard it'll make its way into the guma. Those on the left are allowed to do so. So you'll ask yourself, why can't the people on the right do the same thing? They could, but they did not make any eruv chatzeros among themselves. The two homes on the right side, along the right balcony, did not join together in an eruv. So they are not even allowed to take the bucket of water from in their home to the balcony to pour it on the floor of the balcony so that it should flow, overflow, and spill into the courtyard. Now the Mishnah Berurah asks the questions. I have a solution. I have a brilliant solution for the people on the right side who have not joined together among themselves. Let them go stay in their homes. Don't leave their home. In the door, along the door, right? Opposite, in the by the threshold, pour the water, and it'll go from their home, the threshold, into the balcony, and from the balcony it'll go out into the courtyard, and it'll find its way into the guma. So just like we're allowing the people on the left, who did not join together, the people on the right, and the male are not allowed to go and enter into the courtyard, we have a solution for them. They can just go to their balcony and they can pour the water on the floor of the balcony because they're allowed to go from their home to the balcony because they've joined together privately among themselves and they would be chatzeres from the balcony, so they can go from their home to the balcony, and on the balcony they can pour the bucket of water, and the bucket of the water will then spill from the balcony to the courtyard. For the same logic, let people on the right who have not even joined together in a small eruv v'chatzeres among themselves, let them stay indoors, pour the water indoors right near the threshold, and it will spill from the threshold to the balcony, and from the balcony it will continue to spill into the courtyard, and then it will find its way into the guma. So the Mishnah Berurah says you can't do this because people will not tolerate spilling filthy, dirty water on the threshold of their home. It's bad enough to spill the filthy, dirty water on the balcony. That's bad enough. But you're not going to go so far and spill the dirty water in your home, like right where the door closes. It's not going to be tolerated by your mother or by your wife. This will not be acceptable. And what's going to happen? You'll just convince yourself, you'll fall down the slippery slope, and you'll say to yourself, you know what? I'm not so machmir. I'll just take the bucket of water and I'll go outside and I'll... If we're going to allow you to pour the water in your home at threshold, you will eventually find yourself taking the water out of the threshold into the mirpeset and pouring the water there, or doing even worse, or going out downstairs and pouring the water in the hole itself. So Chazal put an end to it. They nipped it in the bud. Right away they said, you're not allowed to do this. That's what Mishnah Berurah says. But the people on the left, who have joined together in the Ruvi Chatzeros, Chazal did allow them to take the bucket of water out of their homes and go to the balcony. On the balcony, pour the water. From the balcony, the water will spill into the courtyard. So you're not, of course, you're not allowed to pour the water, you're not allowed to go down the steps, go into the courtyard and pour the water there. Ela tishvach b'aliyah, what the people on the left should do is they should pour the water on the balcony. Ve'heim yardim l'guma, and from the balcony the water will flow, make its way into the guma. Fine, that's the basic halach haga. Why is this mutter? But what's going on here? You have deliberately... Cause, see, this is worse than the case we discussed in the Hakdama. In the Hakdama, we learned about you have a courtyard, you live alone. And the Chatchila, you're allowed to go from your home to the courtyard. And the rule is that if the courtyard is 16 square amos, the Chatchila, you're allowed to pour the water in the courtyard because the water is not necessarily going to flow into the Rishus Ram. But if your courtyard is less than 16 square amos, you're not allowed to pour the water in the courtyard for two reasons. Either, number one, the water will automatically spill into the Rishus Ram, and you are indirectly transferring from a Rishus Sayachid to a Rishus Aram, or if you'll do it very slowly, you'll cause the courtyard to become muddy, and you're not going to tolerate this, and then you'll eventually deliberately go out into the Rishus Aram. But in the first case, the first reason, it is forbidden to indirectly cause water to flow from your courtyard into the Rishus Aram. That's called Koichoi. Even though it's not Nisr Derais, it's only also to directly openly carry from a Rishus Yachad to a Rishus Rabim, but Midrabanan, it's forbidden to cause Koichai water to go from a Rishus Yachad to a Rishus Rabim. For the same logic, it should be forbidden. So here's exactly what you're doing. You're going from your balcony, which is a Rishus where you're allowed to be, to the courtyard below, which is a Rishus you're not allowed to carry because you have not joined together in one group Erev. You are causing liquid to go indirectly from a Rishus that you are permitted to carry to a Rishus that you are not permitted to carry. Why is this different? So the Rambam explains, because this is really the Dr. Friedman, because here it's a Chotzer. It's not a real Rishus Harabin. If it was a real Rishus Harabin, then we're machmir, koichoi is also asar midrabanan. But a Chotzer is not a real Rishus Haram. It's just a Rishus that resembles the concept of a Rishus Haram, that it's shared by more than one group, by two groups who have not joined together. So here Chazal, they limited their restriction, and they said if it's only koichoi, it's mutter. The koichoi b'chotzer she'enu le'reve shari. That's the chiddush. The Ramah just brings out this yisud. The Ramah sometimes, not very common. The Ramah here is giving a bayer. He's giving an explanation for the words of the mechaber, which is not typical of what Rambam does, but I guess here he felt that it was essential to understand the yisod of the Mechaber. He gives us this explanation. Avu Hadin. And the same thing is true in Mechatzah Yosef. Now he brings another halacha. This halacha is a little tricky because you have to add more details. Vu Hadin, same halacha is true. In Mechatzah Yosef Mi'arba Amos, the Shtei Mutar B'chiyai Gavna, the Ein Tzrichim L'Guma. You just bring out a point that over here the Mechaber spoke about the case where there's a Guma, where there's a pit. Now that's the only reason why we need the pit is because the courtyard is less than Dalid Amos. It looks over here that's very big. I mean, all these pictures, they're just blown up to bring out the concept. But the only reason why you do need a Guma is because the pit is, the chach is less than 16 Amos by, less than 16 square Amos, less than 4 by 4. But in a situation where the chach is more than 4 Amos by 4 Amos, you do not need a Guma. And then the Ramah explains it with the explanation of the Mishnah Berurah is that in a situation where both courtyards have joined among themselves, courtyard on the aliyah, both balconies, the aliyah on the left has joined together in Eruv Chatzeros, and the courtyard, the balcony on the right, has joined in their own Eruv Chatzeros, and they have not joined together, and the courtyard is larger than 4 by 4. Then each courtyard is allowed, each balcony is allowed to go to the balcony and pour the wastewater. The wastewater will flow from their balcony into the courtyard because the courtyard is large enough to accommodate this amount of waste. I guess what he means, it means dalid for each one of the residents. That's what I'm assuming because if it's only dalid, you need dalid for each resident. Each person produces wastewater that is a saw. So dealing with 4 residents, you have to multiply that by 4. So assuming in a case where the courtyard is large enough to accommodate the measure of water for 4 people, and each balcony has made their own Eruv Chatzeros, everyone is allowed to go to the balcony, pour the wastewater from the balcony, and the water will flow from the balcony along the sides. Now the reason why he's saying this is to bring out a point which Mishnah Berurah brings out above. Let's go back to the previous case. Let's go to a new case. Let's discuss a case where the courtyard is not large enough to accommodate all of the people. It's less than 4 amas by 4 amas for the number of residents. So the only time it will be permitted to pour water is, number one, you have to have on your balcony an Eruv Chatzeros. That's number one. So you should be allowed to go from your bayis to the balcony and then pour from the balcony. Number two, you also need a guma. Being that the courtyard itself is not large enough to accommodate the water, you need a guma, you need a pit. You need a pit in the courtyard, because if the courtyard is not large enough and you pour too much water, it'll get muddy. If it'll get muddy, it's going to be disgusting, and you'll be tempted to go to the Rishus Rav and pour the water out in the Rishus Rav. So if it's not large enough, you must have a guma. Here, the Ramah is bringing out a new yisot, an important chesh. Even if you have a guma, the guma must be near your balcony. So let's say we have a very large guma, and the guma, the pit, is large enough is large enough for all of the residents to accommodate all the residents of the balcony. Okay, you have 4 residents, and you have a guma that can hold 100 gallons, far more than you need, no problem. But the problem is the guma. And both balconies have joined together, have made their own independent Eruv Chatzeros. But they have not joined together. They have not joined together in one large Eruv Chatzeros. And again, the courtyard is a teeny, teeny little courtyard. But the guma, there's a guma. The guma is 100 gallons. But the guma is like in this picture. It's along the left. It's near balcony on the left. It's distant from the balcony on the right. So you would say, so what? The balcony on the right is allowed to, people in the balcony, they can leave their homes, go to the balcony, they made their own Eruv Chatzeros, pour the water on the balcony, the water will spill into the courtyard, and somehow find its way into the guma. No. Being that the guma was constructed by the balcony on the left, and it's closer to the people on the left, it's usur for the people on the right to pour water on their balcony and have it spill into the courtyard, because the courtyard is too small, and the guma is not theirs. They didn't make it. It's not theirs. It's their neighbor's, their balcony. And it's not only is it not theirs, it's closer to their balcony. There are too many complications here. And there's a real concern that the water will collect not near the guma. The courtyard will become muddy. And then they will be tempted to leave the courtyard and pour the water in the rishus ram. So that's why the only time it will be permitted for the people of the balconies to pour the water on the balcony and have it spilled to the courtyard without any restriction is where we're not dealing with guma, not dealing with a cesspool. We're dealing with a large courtyard that's large enough to accommodate the spill of a double sov water for every single resident. So then you don't need to come on to the favor of your neighbor who has made the guma. You don't need to worry about that it's too distant. The courtyard itself will accommodate our wastewater. It will absorb the grass. The earth will absorb the water. Then, as long as each one has made their own independent Eruvi Chatzeros, they're permitted to pour from their homes, they leave their homes, go to the balcony, and pour the water on the balcony, and the water will spill over. Of course, the ideal situation would be for everyone to join together one in large Eruvi Chatzeros, and then there's no restriction whatsoever. Okay, that concludes the Simon Nice Chazara of the Yisodos that we've learned back in Shin Nun Zayin. Now we go to a new Ha'asimin. This is a very easy Ha'asimin. Shinayin Ches. We're dealing here with three courtyards. This is what Moshe Einhorn. He. I wasn't here when he substituted for me on Tuesday. So he discussed this halacha. So in this halacha, we're dealing with three courtyards. Shalosh chatzeros psuchos zolos. We have three courtyards that are open one to the other. Psuchos the rishos. A very simple case. Let's assume that each courtyard, three courtyards that are connected to each other, and each courtyard has an exit to the rishos harabim. Okay, so everyone is independent. I can go out into the street without trespassing to your courtyard. You can go out into the street without trespassing to my courtyard. Each courtyard is independent. Happens to be that there is an opening that goes from one to the other. So we have three courtyards back to back. Now it's Shabbos, and they want to go from one to the other. So of course, the ideal thing would be for all three courtyards to join together in one large Eruvei Chatzeros. Everyone contributes a piece of bread. The bread is stored somewhere. It doesn't make a difference where the bread is stored. They're one big happy family, and you can now carry freely from courtyard A to courtyard B to courtyard C, from courtyard C to courtyard A. There's no restriction whatsoever. As long as you don't leave the walls of the courtyards, you don't go into the Rishos Rab. What has happened? Not everyone is so friendly with each other in this development. And courtyard A has made an area with courtyard B, the center. But people in courtyard A are not on speaking terms with the people in courtyard C. So there's no way in the world you're going to convince them to join up together with courtyard C. No way. Possible. And the people in courtyard C are on good terms with courtyard B, of course. So courtyard C joins with courtyard B. So we have over here two Eruvim. Double the money, double the bread, because that's, you know, sometimes machlokes cost money. Peace costs money, and machlokes also costs money. So courtyard A has joined with courtyard B, and courtyard B has joined together with courtyard C, but A and C are out. They have not joined together. So, of course, A cannot go into C, and C cannot go into A. If you want to carry on Shabbos, you can go from A to B. You can go from B to A. Those in C can go from C to B. You can go from B to C. But you can't go from A to C, C to A. That's off limits. Not necessarily. If the Eruvim are stored, let's say A and B get together, and they store the Eruv in courtyard A, C and B get together, B and C get together, and they store the Eruv for the second Eruv in courtyard C, so the Eruv number one is stored in courtyard A, and the Eruv for the second Eruv is stored in courtyard C. So of course it's two separate Eruvim. A and C are off limits. But if the Eruv is stored for the first and the second is stored in courtyard C, in the same house, in the same location, automatically they're A and B joined together, right? And B and C join together. So you have two Eruvim, two loaves of bread.
B
two baskets, and both baskets are put in one big basket in courtyard B. In courtyard B, automatically, they're all one big happy family. And even though they never wanted this to happen, this was a nightmare that A and C should be allowed to intermingle, taruvus. Should be any interaction between A and C. Their mother, A is allowed to go to C and C is allowed to go to B, because since they have been joined together in a single, the Eruvim have been joined together in a single location, that is good enough. But it must be in the same bais. If it's in two separate batim in the same courtyard, if you're in courtyard B in two separate batim, that is not good enough. Okay, that's the whole first halacha. Let's read inside. Shalosh chatzeros, three courtyards. Which are psuchos, zo lezo, which over one to the other, or psuchos, the rishos rab, each one is owned the shrabim, the erva, kolachas, meachitzonios, im, tzois, and each one of the outer ones has joined with the middle one, veachitzonios, le erva yacha, but the outer ones have not joined together, A and C did not join together. So the rule is simple, hachitzonos, asuros, zo, im, zo. A and C are off limits, they may not intermingle. Vohem tzois, but the middle one, B, muteres im kol achas mehen. Vehe mutaros imo, and the extreme courtyards are muter to carry into the center. Bamer dvorim amurim, when is it true that A and C are off limits? They're mutually exclusive. Kishenosno im tsoyis eruva bozo, ve eruva bozo. That's where the middle courtyard, who has joined with A and has joined with C, deposited the Eruv bread in courtyard A and in courtyard C. So there's nothing physical there to link them together. Or even if the Eruv is being stored in courtyard B, but it's being stored in two separate batim, two separate homes in courtyard B, then A and C are mutually exclusive. Aval in but let's say the two outer courtyards A and C have deposited their bread in the center. Then shaloshtan mutaro zoimzo. Then all three courtyards are intermingled. It's one big happy family, and you're allowed to carry from A to C, C to A. There's no restriction whatsoever. Okay, so that is this halacha, very simple halacha, very logical, intuitive. A equals B, B equals C. We learned this in elementary school, something like chain rule, algebra, you know, so something along these lines. A, B, B, C, the different rules. It's very, very simple. And that's halacha. Okay, we'll stop up here with CF base.